One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Verde. Let's do it.
Welcome back, y'all. So if you're an exhausted mom, I mean, that seems like a redundant statement, or especially one who struggles to focus on routines or just feels like your brain won't slow down, especially at night, this episode is for you. So today we're diving into sleep, ADHD, and unique challenges that moms face when it comes to rest and recovery. If you've been following me for a while, I have been very open about my diagnosis with ADHD. I have this funny parody that goes to under the sea, but it's ADHD. And a lot of people resonated with that. They were like, that's just me. I did not know I was diagnosed or undiagnosed. But essentially, ADHD is you can feel completely overwhelmed and exhausted. And the truth is sleep deprivation or just the mental load of momhood often can mimic like ADHD symptoms. So you may not be diagnosed or undiagnosed, but you might have symptoms that look exactly the same. So like brain fog, forgetfulness, emotional dysregulation, making it hard to tell what's like really going on for you. Okay. So for some, ADHD symptoms become more noticeable after having kids. There's actually something that I recently discovered through comments in my ADHD video that there is a postpartum ADHD, which is wild. I need to look more into that, but I think it's because the mental load, you might have had it before, or you might have been like someone that's a little bit, I don't know, flighty or forgetful, but then, and you were able to, you know, mask it or deal with it. But then when you have kids, the mental load becomes so much and the lack of sleep becomes so much that it's very apparent that you are like just kind of functioning not typically like you would have before. So whether you're diagnosed or not, if you just feel like your brain is not working for you and working against you, especially when it comes to sleep at night, you are not alone. And this episode is for you. That's why I'm excited for today's guest, Sarah Petroski, who is a Oxford trained sleep specialist, fitness coach, and the founder of Sleep Fit. Nearly two decades of experience in personal training and sleep science. She's helped busy parents and high achieving professionals optimize their sleep, energy, and overall performance as a mom with ADHD herself. She gets the struggle of bedtime procrastination, overstimulation, and feeling wired but tired. Wired but tired, like just kind of speaks to me. I can't tell you how many times at night I'm scrolling or I'm thinking about the millions of things, but I know I need to get to sleep. I'm yawning, but I just can't. So anyway, today she's bringing her science back, practical strategies to help us navigate sleep challenges, especially for moms who struggle with this routine. Let's do it. Welcome, y'all, to That Twin Mama Podcast, y'all. I'm so excited. Sarah, thank you for being here today. I know this is a conversation that so many parents, moms, anyone that may be struggling with sleep will love to hear. So welcome, welcome to the cast, girl.
Thank you for having me, Lauren. I'm so excited to chat with you.
I'm so excited. Sarah and I met back in October or I don't know, last year at some point at Doula Expo in New York through a mutual friend. And I feel like you were so, we just connected. First of all, with Manifesting Tonight, that is, if you guys don't know what that is, go back to the Human Design episode that I had. And we were both ADHD, but like that was just something that came up in conversation very fast. And then we started talking about like sleep stuff. Like there was just so many commonalities. There were so many things that overlap. I was like, this can't be by like some chance. And I feel like it's a common thing for so many. So I'm just excited to talk a little bit more about it. But before we do, I want to talk about your journey.
I have something to say about that.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah.
That's a whole other. This is my. Do you remember me telling you?
Yes.
You know what I'm gonna say? Okay. Like, I don't do any of this work whatsoever in human design. I did take like a 6 weeks course on it, maybe like 6 years ago, but it just resonates so deeply with me. And every time I just have a theory that manifesting generator energy is ADHD energy.
Yeah.
And I just think that's such a cooler way to look at it. It's just a different way that you move your energy in the world. And when it's not that every person with ADHD is going to be an MG or vice versa, but when you talk to people, I swear, whenever somebody else is like, oh, I've been diagnosed ADHD too, they are always an entrepreneur that's done like 10 other things. And then they always end up being a manifesting generator. And I'm like, that is such more empowering language and way to look at it. It's to be a more positive spin. I think it's just another energy archetype for the world.
Exactly. I love that. And I think that there is like language shifting around ADHD. Cause I think when we were kids, like I wasn't diagnosed as a kid, but it was always like something that people thought was like the hyper kid, right? That's what ADHD is. And as we're getting more knowledge about it and there's more information, yes, there's like, I made this video that I spoke about in the intro of like, you know, me forgetting things, but also doing lots of things at once. And at the same time, it can seem chaotic to someone who doesn't understand it, but it's also kind of like a superpower. Like I think a lot of people that have ADHD or manifesting generators, they are doers of a lot of things. And I wouldn't be a creative like I am if I didn't have this superpower, quote unquote, or this hindrance, whatever you want to call it. But I know it's a part of me and that's why I'm able to do the things that I do. So I love this reframe. And for those who don't know, I'm going to link it. Like we'll link something about manifesting generators and all the different human designs. Like I said in the intro, Sarah and I are not doctors in this. This is our experience. However, there is a strong correlation between the things that I think moms or people with a heavy mental load or sleep deprivation pick up that are similar to what folks have with ADHD. And if you have sleep stuff and you're ADHD, it's just boom. This is the episode for you. So I'm excited about it. Okay, so let's get into your journey. You have been, before you were in fitness and yoga, and then you became a sleep specialist. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about a little bit about that journey and what was the turning point for you to start focusing on sleep now?
Yeah, so it happened over pandemic, basically because there was this pause where all the gyms were closed. And all the yoga studios were closed and we weren't seeing anybody in person. And all the trainers, everyone was kind of like scrambling to be like, what can we do online? Oh, I'm going to throw up this. Hey, I got a Zoom. Pay what you can. Come $10. Oh, I'm going to do a IG live, you know, et cetera. And the energy just felt really frenetic to me. And my clients were so, now I get it. Cause all my clients, I didn't have kids at the time, but all my clients did have kids.
Yeah.
It was like, You want me to try to get on Zoom and work out at home when I got my kids at home? I'm trying to get them through school. I'm trying to do my job. So they were not training with me online. So I was just kind of sitting there like, well, what now? Yeah. You know? And I've always, I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but I've always loved sleeping. Yeah. Once I get to sleep, I can sleep.
Yeah.
I love it. And I've always had very vivid dreams. I use the journal since old enough to write.
Really? I need to do that.
Oh.
Are your dreams lucid? Are they?
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
There's
vivid and there's lucid. There's like you're aware of that you're dreaming while you're in the dream. And then there's just really vivid and you wake up and you write them down. So
love sleep.
Just, like, I love it, but I'd always have been a night owl and have a hard time winding down. And so I just got honestly, it was just personal. It was almost like a personal quest where over pandemic, where I didn't have the structure of having to wake up for clients. I didn't have the structure in my day. I was in this kind of like spiritual abyss, just kind of like meditating and walking. I know that wasn't everybody's experience during shutdown times. You know, my brother's an ER doctor. My boyfriend still had to work from home, but my experience was like, okay, but my sleep was getting later and later every single night because I didn't have that structure, and left to my own devices, it was just getting, oh, okay, it's 3 a.m, it's 4 a.m, and I'm still up.
Right.
So I was very sleep deprived for a decade, I would say.
Yeah.
So it was funny because I was sleeping later and later over shutdown, but I was sleeping more. And I was finally feeling rested. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been sleep deprived for like a day. So also there's just kind of a mystical component of it with all my meditation and Kundalini practices, where I'm very interested in the subconscious and the unconscious. It was kind of like, what is happening when we sleep? It felt like space. It's like, what is going on while we were sleeping? And I just wanted to know. So I found the grad school program and applied. Oxford was the place that I picked that place because there was only a few places in the States I found that even had a sleep program.
Right.
But you had to be matriculated in through the medical school. And at Oxford, you just had to be in the health sciences. Well, they consider my personal training health sciences.
There you go. Boom. Boom, bam.
Boom, bam. So here we go. And it was a really, it was just this amazing deep dive into learning about what happens when we close our eyes and the lights go off and our brains just light up.
Yes.
It is crazy.
That is wild. So did you find like you were saying that you experienced well-rested sleep. You're like, hey, this feels different. You got into Oxford, became a sleep expert specialist. In what point did you realize like sleep is a big missing component or big component when it comes to wellness?
I feel like I already knew that.
Yes.
But it wasn't culturally pop yet it is now. It was just the kind of like, grind it out. I'll sleep when I'm dead. I mean, I live in New York, the city that never sleeps.
Right. 100%.
You were looked down on, like, why? What's up with you? Like, oh, I didn't sleep last night. It was almost like a badge of honor. Like, oh, right. I went out all night. I was doing my thing at the club and now I'm here and I got a big meeting. And meanwhile, definitely not performing at your best. Like when you're sleep deprived, they show your brain scan, you're performing about the same as like when you're drunk.
I feel like that's a big misconception. I think with our culture and sleep, it's like sleep is for like, it's a flex. Like I did all this and I don't need as much sleep as you. Or sometimes, I mean, I'm guilty of this. Ryan is a really good sleeper. Mm. And I think husbands or partners sometimes are in general. Like I remember when our babies would wake up, he wouldn't hear it and he'd sleep through it. I would get so upset. And like get mad that like he's like, well, I didn't sleep enough. I got like 6 hours. Like you've had 6 hours. Like you know what I mean? There's this misconception that you should be able to function if I have to function without sleep. Or like people that I think, especially moms, it's like we have to, especially in a certain stage, function without sleep. But I don't think that we have to, right? Like you do like fundamentally when a baby is baby. For sure. They wake up, you need to wake up with them. But then at some point, I don't know if that goes away. Like my girls will sleep now, right? But I still feel like I need to do more in the day and get less sleep just because I have so much to do, where my husband can sleep for longer. And I'm like, ugh, like mad or resentful in a way. And like, there's this, I think just this conception around sleep is for a week or something. I just made that up. That's not a phrase, but like, there's an attachment in my brain for sleep and weakness. I don't know if that is like something that you've seen or a misconception that you've heard.
So let me just break down insomnia for a second. Okay. There's not giving yourself enough of an opportunity to sleep. And then insomnia is when you give yourself the opportunity, but you can't do it. The sleep opportunity and the lack thereof can sometimes then trigger the insomnia part. The academic model of it, they call it the 3 P's, or some models call it the 4 P's. And it stands for, there's a precipitating factor, you're predisposed to it, you're doing something that perpetuates it, and then the 4th P is Pavlovian, like like the dog, you know, Pavlov's response, the dog, they would ring a bell and the dog would get a treat.
Okay.
So then they would then take the treat away. But when they ring the bell, the dog would start to salivate because the dog had created a pattern in its brain of like bell equals treat. I'm going to get a food. So our brains can then create a habit of, oh, when I go to sleep, I know that the baby's probably going to wake up soon. So I'm not associating the bed with laying down to relax. I'm associating the bed with like, when do I have to be alert and get up and do something?
Yes.
How long am I going to get? And then you start kicking off this like sleep math game.
Yeah.
This cycle of hyper arousal. And then all of a sudden the bed is not a restful place. It's like a triggering place.
Yeah. I love this distinction because like, yes, when babies are newborns, there's not opportunity to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The distinction of insomnia is like there is and you still can't. And that can be triggered by our experience and our trauma potentially.
Yeah.
As being brand new moms and just this like nightmare state, whatever you want to call it, for I don't even know how many weeks it is, you know, like, and then that has to affect our brain in some way, even when we're coming out of it. Well, and I do. Yeah. Yeah, don't worry.
That's the thing. When you become pregnant and for the whole first year, usually after you give birth, your amygdala, the part of your brain that's like, they call it the fear base, but it's really a protective part of your brain, right? It's mm-hmm. part, it's like scanning the horizon for any threat whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it does make you more reactive. It makes you wake up to hear that baby's call. It's there to keep your baby alive.
Yeah.
That part of your brain increases both in size and the frequency, like the amplitude, by 50%.
That makes so much sense.
50%. You get that neurotic mom brain because it's built in biologically to like keep the baby alive.
That now, makes so much
it
sense.
Goes back. Yeah. It does go back. But by that time, you've now built new habits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for our brain to then get out of those habits. So that's a lot of the work around insomnia is retraining those habits, giving you different habits, reframing your thoughts to be like, is that actually going to happen? Because you've gotten into a pattern of catastrophizing and thinking the worst is going to happen because that's what your brain was designed to do for the first year of your baby's life. But now those babies are sleeping through the night. Yeah. Now, but
you're still going. You're still
in your old pattern.
Yes. This is so helpful because this is just for any mom. Like I remember being like, this is nature's sick joke when I was pregnant because people would be like, okay, sleep now because you're not going to be able to when the baby gets here. And I'm like, I'm uncomfy. Like I didn't know that was going on in my brain. You can't. And then the baby gets here. You can't really sleep. But then another reason why I'm so glad they're coming on today, because particularly for like ADHD moms or moms that might be thinking they have it, it hits like sleep deprivation hits us harder. Like, let's break down why that part is, because that's a whole nother level, right?
Mm. Yes. Yeah. We have a bit of a dopamine deficiency.
Yeah.
Which means that we're always kind of looking for things, doing things to try to get our dopamine. We're always searching things out, which is why we really hyper-focus or go down a deep rabbit hole about something. I focus on adult sleep only, but I do know that there's a lot of talking points around kids getting falsely diagnosed with ADHD.
Yes, I think that's
because they are sleep deprived, mm-hmm. especially in the teenage years, because a funny thing, sleep changes over your lifespan. So what happens is when we're teenagers, both male and female, for whatever reason, a lot of kids naturally become biological night owls. They're not entirely sure why, but this happens. And they have to wake up super early.
Yeah.
And now they're sleep deprived.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they start performing not as great in school. They start showing this like same symptoms of what something with ADHD might look like impulse control.
Right.
You know, being scattered, forgetting your homework.
Yeah.
Like, you left something in the classroom. I don't know. And so they tested for ADHD. So what that's called whenever they start to sleep later and wake up later, it's called a delayed sleep phase.
Okay.
And there have been quite a number of studies that have shown that people with ADHD have more of a delayed sleep phase than neurotypicals.
Okay.
And one of the findings is that we start to secrete melatonin, like at sunset or whenever you dim the lights in your house, your body will start to secrete melatonin, which is going to start to make you sleepy. Neurotypical person will then start to secrete melatonin. Whereas when they've tested people that have been qualified ADHD, it takes about 90 minutes longer for them to start secreting melatonin.
That's wild. That's in fact, I was going to ask you because I remember you saying this when we met. I was like, wait, that makes so much sense because I don't might like even for babies, if you like turn, like they tell you to get the blackout curtains and like do the sound machines because all these things make the babies like, okay, I'm tired, I'm asleep. And I was like, that does not happen for me. I don't like have, like, it doesn't happen when it happens for my husband. He'll be in bed and go to sleep. I'll hear him snoring. I'm like, I wish I was in bed and snoring and I will take melatonin and it like doesn't seem to like hit me as fast or like I'm just doom scrolling or I'm just like exhausted or procrastinating. It feels like I'm procrastinating bedtime and I'm not trying to. And maybe that's just how, I know a lot of moms feel this way. Maybe that's just how our brains are.
It's two different things, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's the revenge bedtime procrastination of just being a mom and not have any time for yourself. Right. And now you're like, everybody's offline. So I'm going to get online and relax myself and have a little me time. That's one part of it, is not having enough like leisure time.
Yes.
And then, but then the ADHD part, if you do have a natural evening chronotype, if you are not secreting melatonin until it takes you longer, then this is also one of the things that could be a trigger to then, unfortunately, create insomnia. Because if you're laying down and trying to go to sleep when your body's not ready to go to sleep, that's called sleep effort. And that's basically what can then create that pattern in your brain of like starting to kind of get scared of going to sleep at night.
Yes. I've almost been like, I've been like that where I'm like, I need to go to sleep. Oh my gosh, it's 12:30. I need to get up at this time, go to sleep. I'm like telling my brain, it's almost like telling your brain, don't think about the color blue. Stop. Huh? Don't think about it. And then it's like, I've been there and like, I think it happened just two nights ago and I just barely got any sleep and that was just my life that day. But I did not realize that because even I do know there's two things, right? I do think that we'll get in our beds. Moms, I know you're guilty of this. Like she just said, revenge procrastination. It's your time alone. So you want to go to sleep eventually, but you bring your phone. Mm-hmm. You might be scrolling and you scroll until you realize, oh crap, I've been scrolling for 2.5 hours. I really need to go to bed. And then when you put your phone down, you're like, okay, I can't sleep. Cause I think scrolling on a phone in bed is probably not good for your brain to be like, it's time to go to bed. So there's all these habits I think we pick up too as a mom, as an ADHD person, as just someone that's the mental load is just wild, that it aren't healthy for us. So what's like small, like one small, maybe realistic thing that a mom can do right now or a parent or whomever is listening to start improving their sleep if they're struggling with any of these things that we laid out? There are parts of our lives that I think women just need to sleep more, where we go through changes when we just give birth. And the irony is that we never get to because society doesn't care. So that is another separate issue. Yeah.
I do have tips. It's just that there just isn't really like, it's so specific to like what the person is going through, like what their struggle is. Is it waking up in the night or is it falling asleep at night? Is it the doom scrolling? Is it, you know, look at what the trigger is, what the problem is. And there might be like a bit of a different fix for that. I mean, getting a little more educated on sleep, like the sleep hygiene is good, but it's kind of similar to the fitness industry where, there's so much information and misinformation.
Right.
That it's kind
of like, would you say that like a mom that keeps her phone in her bed should not do that? Probably across the board. Okay. So there are little things like maybe don't bring your phone in the bed with you or look at it. That's not going to help you. I used to fall asleep with the TV all the time, like growing up. Like I think it started at age like 10 when my mom gave me a TV in my room, which it just has always been a thing for me. I fall asleep to the phone now. I know that is not good.
Like, I'm gonna be real. I fall asleep with the phone in my hand maybe half the time. I don't really do wind down either. I like to go until I crash. And what I do like to do is I wear the blue light blockers.
Yeah.
I wear like the orange lenses while I am on the phone in bed. And that's good. I do go to bed earlier then I am sleepy, which is my general advice is for people to not do that. I tried to switch it up a little bit. I have like a red light bookmark that to read a physical book in bed.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, like, oh, I'm going to switch to the physical book in bed. But if I get on the apps because of the ADHD time blindness, it's
called, yeah.
That's one of the other problems with scrolling is you don't have a great awareness of time.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm just going to have the phone for a second and then I will transfer to the book. But more nights than not, I actually fall asleep with the phone in my hand because I'd fall asleep before I grab the book. But if I was in a pattern of being like, oh, it's 1 a.m. I'm still on the phone. Oh, it's 2 a.m. I'm still on the phone. Then I would know, okay, I need to interrupt that pattern. I need to have the phone in the bedroom for like the next week until I can retrain my brain to stop doing this negative behavior that's keeping me up and not giving me an opportunity to sleep.
Yeah, I like that. And I like how you're kind of naming there's different like levels, right? You don't have to say, okay, I sleep a lot with my phone. Now I'm gonna have my phone in my living room. And that's when I have to do for a week. Like your brain will be thinking about the phone in the living room or thinking about something else. It's just like too much of, I think, a drastic change. But I like the idea of maybe taking a book with you physically to bed or like really putting your phone down. And like, if you still need that stimulant, I get tired. My eyes get tired when I read physically and I know I will fall asleep. Another thing I've done is like start to listen to Audible books. Like that's like, I know it's dark at least and I'm listening to something and I'll fall asleep. If I'm listening to a song, my brain can't calm down. I'm always like thinking about like, oh, these are lyrics. Oh, remember these lyrics. It's too stimulating. So if I'm listening to like an Audible book about whatever, then I can naturally fall asleep. So know yourself, know like that there isn't like all or nothing with the phone, but maybe do different levels, as Sarah is saying, to potentially get at least that like light, like even having blue light glasses, right? Or something, because that light triggers us to stay awake, no matter how much we think we've gotten used to it.
I just find... So what it is, though, is the closer the light source is to your face, when you're in bed and the phone is like, what, a foot in front of your face? That's not good.
Right.
So that's why I wear the blue light. But, you know, if you're watching TV in your living room and it's maybe like 10 feet away from you or however far away, that apparently.
Right.
As much. So that's actually better than laying in bed with the phone. As far as light sources are concerned. But I asked about shifting to be more of a morning person and getting more sunlight. Light, let me go down like a kind of a matrix rabbit hole with you for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
So our bodies are always secreting melatonin unless it's light. And then light actually just temporarily inhibits the melatonin from being secreted. So the reason I said matrix is because there's some kind of schools of thought that sleep is our actual reality. Kind of like our dream life and our sleep life is like our actual reality. And then the sleep life is like
that seems getting real weird. I don't know about
weird.
I can fly in all my dreams, so I know what that means. But anyways, go on. We're gonna.
That's your other life.
That's what I say. I'm a bird. I'm birdie.
Yes, it's not the light is just and especially like I said with ADHD, it's taking us longer to secrete that melatonin. So the moment you have the light that's going to stop the melatonin from being secreted, you're doing a double disservice to yourself because it's already taking you longer for that to happen.
Yes.
So you want to definitely try to not interrupt that with more light. Like when it's sunset in our house, all the overhead lights get turned off.
Yes.
We switch to floor lamps, low wattage floor lamps. We have a skylight in our bathroom and I live in New York. So there's a lot of light pollution. So I just have no lights on. Like if you have to get up in the middle of the night, I can see through the skylight. But if that wasn't the case, you want to get night lights that have like a red spectrum light because that the red spectrum light doesn't interrupt our melatonin process as much.
Okay. So that's helpful too. So if you're thinking about someone that is like we said, our ADHD is like secretion of melatonin just takes a lot longer. So if you're like in a bunch of bright, you're all your lights are on your room or in the kitchen or living room, wherever you're hanging out, you're on your phone, like you got to like, you know, turn off everything and get into bed. You thinking that, okay, now it's time to fall asleep, will take even longer. So even like dimming the lights around the living room or dimming the lights wherever you are, or just naturally kind of coming into that like cadence of it's nighttime, whatever little triggers of reminders, even subconsciously, that you can give your brain prior to getting to bed. And keeping it that way sounds like would be helpful for across the board if someone's struggling with sleep. Okay. And ditto too with like someone that is waking up in the middle of the night, which is a question that we had. Okay. It's like you're saying like not maybe turning on a light to go to the bathroom necessarily if they have to wake up in the middle of the night. Or what if it's someone that's just in their bed and they just wake up and then now they can't fall back to sleep? Is it like their brain starts over and the whole process? Like, what is that like? Because I've been there. Amen. What do you do? We've all been there. Yeah.
And that's one of the first things is knowing that we've all been there.
Right.
I had one sleep coaching client. He did one session with me and he was done. He was sleeping because he had been waking. We really talked through it. It was like 90 minutes and we really talked through all the lifestyle. We figured out where it started. Like I said, there's always a precipitating factor. There's always like what kicked off the insomnia. What? For this person, it was like a dog that was ailing and having to get up to pee in the middle of the night. And then all of a sudden now he gets up at that time.
Right.
In the middle of the night all the time.
Same with moms.
Yeah. But whatever it is, you know, we wake up many times over the course of the night. Yeah. Whether you remember it or not is different, because if you're awake for, I think it's less than like 2 minutes, you might not actually even remember that you woke up. But we all wake up a couple times. Our sleep cycles are about give or take 90 minutes. And we go through a few of those over the course of the night. And at that 90 minute cycle, you wake up for a little bit. Now what happens is sometimes people wake up and they're like, oh, I'm awake. And a lot of times they're like, I have to pee. And it's kind of this funny thing when I start asking people, do you really? Because it's just like, oh, they have to like, they start to give a function to waking up. Yeah. It's like, and then they just start doing it.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, see if you don't go to the bathroom, what happens? Or go to the bathroom, waking up to pee isn't a problem as long as you can get right back to
sleep. Back in bed.
If you start worrying about it, then it makes it harder to go back to sleep. So in the session with this one guy, just him knowing, oh, you've created a pattern to wake up at this time. And by the way, everybody wakes up a few times over the course of the night. He was like, oh, that's normal. And then he stopped doing it.
Just like the knowledge of it. Like, it's like, nothing is wrong.
Well, yeah. Because you start to stress out that something's wrong.
Right.
And when you get that stress, it just amps up the stress, which is the antithesis of sleep.
That makes so much sense. And I even think about like, if you think about a newborn, how often they wake up, we still do that. I think it's like 4 months or whatever months they start being able to go back to sleep. Yes. Just like adults. Like that's the natural sleep cadence, I think, of since like you are born.
I think it was just kind of providence that I was studying this around the same time that I would have done sleep training with her.
Mm.
And so I had kind of, and it is a lot of pressure. I remember in the mommy group, I remember at the time, all the people in this mommy group that I was in, they're all sleep training at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually even started to feel a little resentful of like, because all their husbands were doing it, actually. They're like, I know it's going to be hard on you. So you go to a hotel and I'll sleep train the baby. Like that. And I was just like, why don't you do that? And I'll go to a hotel.
Right.
And he was just like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And there was a question. I had an essay question at school that said, explain the ways that culture influences infant sleep. And right there in the question, how does culture influence infant sleep? Because the biology of babies does not change across countries or cultures.
Right.
So it's in this culture, what it is more is a cultural narrative of how that baby's meant to perform and how, and you getting back to, and that's the other gist of it is in this country, we don't have the luxury of maternal leave and time and support to even really do it. Like I was lucky because I work for myself. I can set my own hours. So she would wake up many times and I can sleep in with her. Right. I didn't have to like rush back to the office 6 weeks after giving birth.
Right.
So I think the answer is it's just so dependent on your situation.
Right.
If you unfortunately do have to get right back to work, or fortunately, if you want to,
yeah,
you know, like, it's just what your situation is. I just think it's such a personal call.
Right.
What is going to get you more sleep? Is sleep training the baby? And because you need to function, and you need, if you need to get to work and you need to live your life, if the sleep deprivation is kicking off like postpartum psychosis, which it can, if it's kicking off depression, which yeah. it can, if you're not able to get those naps with the baby, if you're really struggling, then sleep training might be the better option for you. Also, the nervousness, the anxiety I felt like listening out
yes.
the monitor, because yes. a few times that I did try that, it made me so anxious because I'm like listening. Was that her? Was that her? Was that her?
Right. The phantom cries. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Intense. Exactly. I love that. Okay. Let's talk about a little bit more on a big topic of interest was, I don't think enough of us moms realize, I think we're starting to realize, is how much like strength training and hormones and fitness like affect sleep and like what the connection is there. Like, I know you've been in fitness for like over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the connection that you've seen with the benefits to strength training and our hormones and sleep?
Well, first of all, it just makes you tired.
Yeah, I know. I remember when we first met, you were saying I was working out so hard all the time because I wanted to sleep or something like that. Like, and then you didn't have time to. Was that, or did I just make this up? Like, at some point you would be like, you would work out a lot. That's just what you were doing. You were training, but also that gave you like good sleep. And then at some point your life shifted and you couldn't work out as much. Or did I just dream this?
No. So it's not, you didn't make it up.
Yeah.
It's crosswires of two different okay. topics.
Got it.
I was saying that I was working out so much because it was self-medicating my ADHD brain.
I see. Yep. Yep.
When I work out, I feel grounded.
Yep.
I feel slow. Moving my body really helps me get my thoughts together. Like before this podcast today, I'm like, I don't really have time, but I need to go to the gym for like 30 minutes just so I can think properly.
That's such a dig. Yeah.
And what happened was it became my lifestyle. I became a trainer because
yeah.
I was just like, when you have like a corporate job, like I used to have, I'm like, I didn't have time to work out as much as I needed to work out for my brain to work. So I literally became a trainer, and you know, I was on ADHD meds in college and then I went off of them, but it was, I guess I was really self-medicating with things that are good for you, like movement and meditation. And then once I started grad school and had a baby at the same time, oops, didn't mean to do that, but that was interesting. Yeah, like I was saying, I didn't think I would get in. Then I got in. Then the next week, I found out I was pregnant. Let's go. But that combination, I'm like, I no longer had hours on end to do that. And so I ended up going back on medication and on Adderall. So that's what it was. But however, the training does, you know, if you're training too much, you're going to have jacked up cortisol and that makes it harder to sleep. But there have been studies that show that weight training specifically increases the amount of time. I'm not entirely sure of the mechanism, but increases the amount of time that we spend in slow wave sleep and that we go to sleep faster at night on the days that we have done resistance training.
Really? So see, it's interesting because I used to work out religiously. Like I just... life, whatever. It's probably the least amount I've been working out recently, which has affected definitely my ADHD. I'm taking more Adderall than I ever had. Like there's this correlation there, which sucks. But also I would think like if I have 30 minutes, I have to do the most wild cardio, like insanity, like Peloton run, like as hard as I can, just because like I want to get the most out of it. But is that you're saying like if you do it too hard or certain workouts can be too hard, your cortisol levels can spike? How do you know what that balance is? And is strength training a better alternative to cardio 9 times out of 10 when it's like you're our age, you know?
Right. Our age.
Spread the age. We're dope.
So. Yeah, you know. Well, I mean, I'm 46. And so at that age, there is the perimenopause.
Yeah.
Starts to come into play. And what we do know is that weights resistance training is basically like the best thing you can do to maintain muscle mass, which is really important as we age, and maintain your bone density. It's not going to increase your bone density, but it's going to make it so that you're not losing it as fast.
I see.
So that is super important for women, especially, you know.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
As we age, we start to produce less melatonin. We start to produce less growth hormone, and we start to spend less time in slow wave sleep. Now, I know that resistance training can help improve your growth hormone a little.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's related or not, but maybe as the resistance training produces those hormones, it can like kind of produces more of the hormones that can help us sleep. And it also really impacts our regulation of glucose.
Yeah. Metabolism and stuff.
Metabolism.
Yeah.
You know, you need muscle mass to keep your metabolism going. Whereas cardio is super important. That's actually one of my New Year's goals I never do cardio. And so one of my New Year's goals is to like make sure I try to do like at least like one cardio session a week, maybe. Because it is important for your heart health.
It's important for your heart health for sure.
It's important for your heart health. Mm-hmm. And also, but I'm not gonna go super hard with it. Like like a steady jog, a fast paced walk, because I don't want to jack that cortisol up.
Really? Okay. Because cardio can jack up your cortisol, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like more so than like kind of strength training, which is obviously hard, but like not as stressful on your body. Okay.
I just personally find it relaxing. I find it grounding.
I like strength training more. I just feel like I'm going to get bulky, which I think is just in my head. Like I'm like, I can barely keep the muscle mass I have now. Like I'm not going to turn into some, you know, bodybuilder. Shout out to them. But I just...
Right.
Like, I think that's something that women often think.
I've been
like,
very conditioned to think that, for sure.
Yes. Like, oh, I can't lift these weights. I'm going to have, like, you know, I'm saying Hulk Hogan because he's coming to my mind. I do not like Hulk Hogan, but like, I'm going to have these like big arms or whatever, you know? And so I think that's an urban myth. And your arms look amazing. And it sounds like you don't even do cardio. And I'm like, wait, what?
But also, like, you know, like the bar classes and Pilates and things where you're actually just using your own body weight, but pressing against the floor. That's also weight bearing. So if weights scare you, I mean, I love the weights, but if they scare you, that's not, you just need to do some form of resistance training that is specifically for sleep. I'm not saying don't do cardio.
Yeah.
Right. But also with the weight training, you also don't want to do that too close to bedtime either.
Because it can get to you like endorphins and kind of get you excited. Like,
and also it raises your body temperature. And for sleep, you want to have a cool body temperature. And so that's why, you know, eating food, digesting, your core body temperature stays up for like 4 hours after you work out, 4 hours after you eat a big meal. And one of the precursors to sleep is having your body temperature start to drop.
Okay. Yeah. This is so helpful. So it sounds like with like strength training, as you said, it does increase, like I think I read somewhere this, my person put in the notes, deep sleep by 17%. Mm-hmm. Like it helps with that. Cardio does not work the same way as, because it can be a cortisol spike. It's important for your heart health, but like as far as like helping with your metabolism and hormones, which we know that sleep deprivation messes up your metabolism and hormones, a counteract to that, a natural remedy without medication could be strength training is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Secondly, I would say, or I'm asking, if a mom, which, you know, we all know that moms are super busy, if they have 5 or 10 minutes a day, like, is that worthless? Should they just not do anything?
Oh my God. So when my boyfriend and I, I'm just thinking of this right now, just the other day, he was working from home and he's been like crazy busy, like not being able to get outside and see the sun, like God bless him. He's one of these like super sleepers that, like you were saying, like your husband.
Dudes are just,
if I sat at the computer and didn't see the sun all day and didn't move my body all day, like what?
Yeah.
But he got up and he started busting out some push-ups. And I remember when we first started dating, he had like a push-up WhatsApp challenge or something. Like a group of dudes where they worked in an office, but like at the same time, a few times throughout the day, they would bust out some push-ups and he was jacked.
I love that for him.
But we can do that too. Yeah. You know, even if you can't do a push-up at this point in time, you know, start at the top and lower yourself down really slow to the floor, but you can do that. You know, let me show you if I know this is audio, but if you have the video, I have all these timers in my house. See, that shows the little, because of my time blindness, these are my little behavioral cues for my ADHD. So I can see the time going down here. So almost everything I do at my desk, I do that Pomodoro technique where it's like, okay, I'm going to hyper-focus. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole for 30 minutes. I'm going to only do this thing. I set my little timer so I don't have to worry about it. I work on something for 30 minutes. Okay, I'm going to step away from it.
Yes, and I love that.
And then you can set a timer for like 5 minutes and be like, okay, I'm going to do you know, some push-ups, some lunges, some squats, you know, just move your body in like against the gravity. That's also resistance, just moving your body against gravity and then get back to work. And like everybody can do that. I know there's so many things where everybody's like, oh, you can do this while you're watching TV. Like, no, I'm chilling. But if you like kind of intersperse it throughout your day and just be like, okay, 5 minutes, I'm going to bust this out. It's going to help your metabolism, your glucose regulation. It's going to help building your sleep pressure. Basically, all the things we do throughout the day, wake up and getting bright light in our eyes first thing, they're really simple behavioral strategies of like move your body, drink water, get in the sun. That's going to start to build up your sleep pressure for the
day. Yeah, I love that. And there's like this viral reel going around or challenge where it's just like every time someone yells, mom, do a squat. Like you hear mom, squat. I'd be having like my butt would be boom, bam. Like I'm telling you, that's the workout I'm gonna try. Like just do what you can. It sounds like there is nothing that is not worth doing. Even if you have ADHD, like I realize now, even in this conversation, how much I'm gonna prioritize this. Like my days just are so much better when I prioritize movement first thing. So much better. Like I might not even need to take my medicine or my coffee, water, like rabbit hole that I get in. Like it's just, and I deprioritize it because I'm like, I don't have the time, but like it's, your time is so much more efficient. Like if you're able to do that, you know what I mean? And so I just hope that moms yeah, go on.
I wanted to ask, do you meditate?
I do not. And I really want to be the girl that does. And I've been told by so many people, like my healers, my therapists, everybody is like, you should try meditation. And I do try sometimes. I just, in my head, I'm like, I got things to do. Yeah. And I deprioritize it. But meditation, you're saying, has worked well for you? Or
yeah, meditation is my absolute non-negotiable.
Really?
Like every single day, even when I gave birth in the hospital, like it really? Is my non-negotiable. I feel crazy without it.
Really?
Yes.
Do you have any apps? Like, I mean, so for the moms that are listening that don't know where to start, like I know there's so many resources now where you don't have to like sit and not think about anything for an hour and like really just be all zen. Like it doesn't always look like that. It's actually not thinking in and of itself. It's like more than that. Can you say more about someone that says?
No, there's so many different types. And I mean, I guess I would say the same. I learned, and you know, it's funny. I actually started doing it to heal my brain because I had like 6 concussions from snowboarding. Mm. And I got my last concussion. I got to a point where it was very scary, where I would like see all the words in my head, but I couldn't like put them together to form a sentence.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I've had as many concussions as like a professional athlete, like a NFL player. Like, am I going to be brain dead? Like, I started to get really scared. And so I was reading up on brain health, and one of the things was to meditate. And I did that for a very long time, for maybe 10-15 years did that. And then I found another practice, Kundalini yoga,
which is
something that I teach. And there's so much breath work, and there's mantras, and there's singing, and there's visualizations, so that if you're a person that has a hard time just sitting, and it's okay, your brain is going to go everywhere, but that's part of the training. And I'm bringing it up because that is practice as well for when we go to sleep at night. Because a lot of times, what's the only time you lay down and are, if that's the first time a day that you're laying down and being alone with your thoughts, and you don't have a practice of zooming out and being a witness to your thoughts, you're going to get pulled by your thoughts, not actions. But if you practice every day sitting and being with your thoughts and just watching them and not being attached to them, and doing something that it's like practice for your nervous system to get into that other brainwave. So it's one of those things that when you sit and do it, it opens up more time. It really opens up more time because you've had a chance to sit and let all that busyness just sit and be with it. And then you get clear about the next priority. So I just feel like that's something that it seems like it's taking time, but it opens up more time.
Yeah, I love that. And like, even like, it's a good segue too, because when you think about like solutions, and for our ADHDers who are listening to this, we're going to sum up a couple quick solutions to help you like sum up what we said. But it's interesting that you name that, because if I want I want a 6-pack or something, I can't just expect it to happen and like do random things randomly and hope that it happens. Same way of like training our mind. If you want your mind to calm down, if you want your mental load to feel less overwhelming, not saying like the stuff will go away, but I think the way that we process the stuff can be a lot different if you do practices like meditation. I'm saying this to you because I'm saying it to myself. There was times, I think I did it for like 3 weeks consistently every morning before I would get out of bed. It was when Ryan was on tour, so I had the bed to myself, which was easier because if someone moves or does something, it can take me out of it. But I was listening to, it was like 3 minutes, like on Spotify. And when he got back, he's like, what have you been doing? I was like, what do you mean? He's just like, you just seem so grounded. And I was like, really? This is working. And then life happened. I was like, okay, I don't need to do that anymore. I've succeeded and like stop prioritizing it. However, I'm stressing this to myself and to listeners that like, I think sometimes moms hear meditation, like what, like girl, bye. I got to like fold these laundry. I got to cook dinner. I got to meal prep. I got to do whatever you got to do. And I think this is just a good reminder. I need to hear this because my mind is not great right now. It's like, it's just all over the place. I'm not going to cry, but I just feel like there's a lot of things going on, like in the world and like everything. Why am I emotional? But
Because it's a lot. And that's what this is for. Yeah. Like every ancient lineage that teaches it, part of the teaching is that we would get to this place where there is so much information and disinformation and artificial intelligence, not to go down this hole, but it's true. And so what you need is a moment to get true with yourself and to feel into your own intuition and your own stillness. And that's part of the problem of a lot of people's insomnia is we're so flooded with stuff today. And then we sit for a second and you're like, okay, but the world's still going. We can keep refreshing. What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What am I going to do about it? I got to do this. I got to do that. Sit and get like right with yourself for a few minutes, because then when you look at something, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a deep fake or not. You can almost have this intuitive understanding of if that's something that deserves your attention.
Right.
Or, you know,
does that deserve really
being a responsive human as opposed to a reactive one? Because an onslaught, and we're just going to get more and more onslaught of things to react to.
Yeah. And I think more importantly, especially right now, like I think as human beings, we were never meant to absorb as much as we are absorbing. Like we were supposed to know about a family or a village, and we absorb like the things that are happening in this. And now we're inundated as moms, what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right, like things happening everywhere around the world. Like it's just a lot. Mm-hmm. And so like mental health, ADHD, whatever you have, it sounds like I'm reminding myself, because I emotions are coming up, because I think there's something there where like take care of your mind first. That is a great practice. Like, yes, if you can get medicine, you can go get diagnosed with things, but maybe try this too, to see what you truly, just to get in tune with yourself. Like you said, could be like a first step in addressing sleep deprivation, the mental load, everything else. Another thing we need was strength training if you want to address sleep deprivation, everything else. Another thing people were asking about, especially for ADHD moms, were, first of all, also thank you. I just went down like a little moment. I'm like, okay, I got to meditate after this, but thank you.
But also, what a great, you know, we were talking about strength training. And
another thing people were asking about, morning light therapy. Do you know what that is? Does that work for someone that is like an ADHD mom or someone having trouble with, what is that? What the heck is that?
So people, that's a thing? People call it morning light therapy?
I don't know. Like, it's just someone had mentioned about morning light therapy. Does that work? Question mark?
Yes.
Okay. Well, is it just morning?
The answer is, you know, like I was saying before, I want to go back to melatonin for a second.
Yeah. Okay.
We secrete the melatonin. Okay, wait. Light bulb. Mm-hmm. I realized. Yes, the other day I was, you know, getting a blowout. My hair is up for the channel, but I did get a blowout anyways. And I was trying to explain what I was going to talk about to the hairdresser, and she wasn't getting it. And then I came up with this analogy at the hair salon. Okay. So your ADHD brain is more like a curling iron than a light switch. I've heard this about like arousal in different people. Some people need a long time to get aroused, and then some people are like a light switch, right? Mm-hmm. So with your ADHD brain, you're more like a curling iron than a light switch. The light switch goes off, okay? It's dark in there. Now, a neurotypical brain is like a light switch, going to start secreting melatonin. You have a curling iron brain where it's going to take a longer time to cool down. It's going to take a longer time for you to wind down, for the melatonin to start to secrete. Now, the other thing that they've shown in some studies with ADHD is that, so most people, their cortisol peaks first thing in the morning. It's part of the process of what wakes you up. Your cortisol peaks, and then you wake up. Okay. They show the ADHD brains, the cortisol peaks later as well.
Oh,
so when you wake up, you're not like bright eyed and bushy tailed. It takes longer to get the day going because the cortisol is not doing the cortisol.
Yeah, that's why we go for our coffee or we go for a thing that we
like. I am not awake. I'm not. Yeah. So you wake up and it's going to be again like the curling iron. It's going to take you longer. It's not like a light switch. You're up and you're awake. It's going to take you longer to get going in the morning. It's going to take a while for you to warm up. So the morning light is just one of the things that can start to help that, start to get your cortisol to come up, start to suppress the melatonin. Yeah. So as soon as you get the light in your eyes, like maybe you don't get outside right first thing right away, but if you wake up and do your meditation, do it right next to a window, get the light in your eyes right away. And it starts to help the process of waking up. The same reason you don't want the light in your eyes at night.
Right.
It's really that simple.
Right. Okay. So like open all the windows, do whatever you got to do. Maybe people do that naturally. I don't even know if I think about it, but maybe intentionally think about it. If you're a mom or an ADHD parent or something like that, that's having a hard time waking up in the morning, intentionally open everything up if you can't get outside.
And it's even if it's raining out, just the outside light is just so much more intense than the lights in our house.
Yeah.
So really getting by the window or just getting outside. Cause I don't, because I said, I have to meditate every morning. Like I don't want to leave the house without meditating.
Yeah.
So I just sit right next to the window and get it.
No, I'm like learning. I'm really learning. Cause I'm like, in my mind, I was thinking maybe you don't like start. Some people are like, I don't start my day until I've worked out. Like no matter what, you can't talk to me until I work out. Like that's their thing.
Well, that would be good too, because during, if you were able to get yourself out and like walk or start your workout, then, you know, the workout is going to raise your cortisol a little bit. The movement is going to raise your body temperature a little bit, and that'll all help to start to wake you up and get going. So if you know, I had your one mom friend had the question, how do I transition to start being more of a person?
Yeah.
It would be these things. It would be more of the wake up routine than the nighttime routine.
I see. Okay.
So hopefully over time they're tired from waking up at the same time morning that they're just like, okay, I'm tired, and your body can start to adjust to going to bed earlier. But it's hard to do those things. So it's kind of like, if you find something that you're accountable, like signing up for a workout class where they're going to challenge you if you don't show up, or having to meet your friend for like a coffee date, something where you do get outside, get moving, get light into your eyes, and having something that's going to hold you accountable to doing that. That's one of the best ways to start transition to be that morning.
Because you see a lot of influencers or whatever, like saying, this is how I start my day. I wake up at 4:30 or 5. And like, it's just that if you can seem so far removed when you're just so exhausted, right? And like, you're like, I can never do that. I was a person that was able to do that at some point. I can't remember in my life. And it was one of my good parts of my life. Like I didn't need my ADHD. Like I didn't need anything. Like I wasn't drinking that much coffee. I just was naturally on this rhythm. I think it was definitely pre-twins. But all to say, yes, kids can alter that for sure in the beginning, you're in survival mode. But once you're not, like there are, you know, I think there are ways to prioritize, like, you know, you get your kids down and then maybe going to sleep a couple hours after that. By 9, you're in bed versus 11, 12 or 1. Like, you know what I mean? Like, then you're able to start to get into that natural day. And that I do really enjoy getting up early before my kids versus staying up late after my kids.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah. It's just,
do you have a hard time? Because when I was going to touch on this, I don't recommend any, you know, medication or melatonin, but let's talk about it for a second.
Yeah, people are asking me about
it's that. Right there at the, in the checkout aisle next to the cough drops, which is wild because, you know, we're like the only country that sells it over the counter.
What?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like melatonin and sleep aids? Or?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yo, we are so...
That's not the herbal ones. Like you can get like valerian root and all these things, but in most other countries, you have to go to a doctor to get melatonin.
I do not sleep without some sleep aid every night, period. No, I haven't been able to do that for years.
What do you take?
Melatonin, Tylenol PM. I've taken Ambien before. I mean, you name it. And I actually started taking, it's Needed is this company, and they make this like sleep, whatever you put in a drink that doesn't have melatonin in it. I think it has like L-theanine. I might be saying that wrong. A couple other things, but it doesn't have melatonin because I know my melatonin has been jacked up when I was taking it so consistently. Especially, I think, even with ADHD brain, but also you're not supposed to take melatonin like that, like consistently. I know it's bad. If you don't know that's bad, even though it's not something we naturally make, it's messing with that natural chemistry that we make it when we take it like that. So if you are taking that consistently, you're kind of probably do more damage than good going down the line. At least I did. So yeah, I have not been able to sleep without some sort of aid, whether or sleepy time tea, and I don't alcohol, like it, something I didn't drink alcohol to sleep, but some days when I drink, I don't have to, you know, take a medicine, if that makes sense. And yeah, I don't know how to get out of that funk. And yeah, I'm the person asking the question. We got a lot of questions about that, but I too need to know the answers to everything.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, Lauren, I think we did a one-to-one.
Girl, your girl's a mess.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, there's a time and a place for the sleep aids. And I would say even medication, like going to a doctor and like you said, you had to take an Ambien. I would say the time and the place for that is early on. So like the moment you start noticing a sleep problem, if you can like nip it in the bud, because it does turn into a habit, right?
Yeah.
Now that at that point, we need to try to wean off of the sleep medications and the sleep aids. But they have a purpose to try to, if you are in a cycle or if you, so like the moment you start to notice, oh, I'm not sleeping or I'm starting to go to sleep later and later, that's where you might want to infuse the melatonin or a sleep aid or something like that, just to kind of like help you reset. And then using all the behavioral tools.
Yeah.
And so I will take melatonin whenever I travel because
yeah,
that's what it's for, is it's basically
different time zones
creates like an artificial sunset essentially, right? And so that's one of the other things is the thing that they sell over the counter is normally so much higher than we need. Like the most effective dose for most people is 0.5 milligrams. And you see stuff on the counter, it's like 2, 5, 10 milligrams, and it's so much. And also a lot of the labels read, like I just pulled one out that I had here at home, and it even says on it, use at bedtime or middle of the night. Please do not do that, because it's gonna stay in your system and then you wake up groggy. Do not take melatonin in the middle of the night, because you're basically telling your body that it's 7 p.m. when it's 3 a.m.
right?
And you're gonna feel that way the next day. So if I find myself in a cycle of like, oh, I'm starting to slip into the bad pattern of going to sleep later and later and later, I sometimes will grab the sleep spray that's like 0.5, and I'll do it for like 3 nights max until I retrain my body. But I will take it like 4 hours before I go to bed.
Right.
Because like we've talked about, it takes longer. Yeah. And also you're kind of like trying to mimic the sunset. So mm-hmm. if I want to go to bed at 11 p.m., I'm taking it at like 7, 8.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to wake up with still that feeling groggy. If you have ADHD, your cortisol isn't as high, so you're already groggy. And then you start hitting the caffeine, and then you have caffeine in your system all day. And then it's hard to wind down at night, and you get yourself in that cycle.
Okay. So someone that's considering sleep aids, like 3 days max, not more than that. It's meant to be a, like, this is just a fix for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be long-term. Mm-hmm. For someone like me that is now, it's in, like, I take sleepy time tea. And like, I think in my head, I was like, oh, well, this isn't like I don't think I would take Ambien or something like that forever. Or like something that like, I thought melatonin was better until I educated myself. Or I think that like, some like sleep drinks with I really wish I had the ingredients of the needed one. I know it's better for you, but I still need to take something.
But it's also because it sounds like you maybe just don't have the confidence that you can do it on your own at this point, because you haven't.
What would it feel like for someone that has had a habit of like now taking some sort of sleep aid to whatever that what that is? I know the times where I'm like, okay, I can't take this right now. Or maybe at first I actually did it without one day without anything. That first night and maybe that second night, it's just, I barely sleep.
Yeah.
And is that just how it's supposed to feel for a while? Or like,
yeah.
Yeah. What about CBD only?
Yeah, same.
Okay.
So the CBD is a little better, but So the cannabis and the it's the same as, you know, we have those naturally occurring in our brain as well. Now you're adding on to that. It's kind of the same as taking the melatonin. Yeah. They've been shown they do help you with sleep onset, but over time it does interfere with your sleep architecture. It interferes with your REM sleep. Right. And so over time, that's not good because we need our REM sleep for like emotional regulation, for our memory. And so, you know, that's it starts to interfere with that.
That makes sense.
So eventually, but it can be good if you're going through like a period of like stress, job loss, grief, like, and you're not sleeping because you're so worked up. If there's something you can take that's going to help you get to sleep because you need to sleep, it's great for that. It's a great as helping you get to sleep. But over time, it's going to, one, you're going to develop a tolerance to it. And not just the tolerance, but a dependency.
Yeah.
So you're going to start to build a tolerance, a dependency, and it's going to start to mess with your REM sleep. So we don't want to stay on that forever. So if you're starting to come off of these things, a lot of things can happen. One of the things that can happen is when you start to get your REM sleep back, you might have super crazy vivid dreams that wake you up.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, now I'm waking up in the middle of the night.
My dreams suck when I'm like, literally my dreams.
But yeah. It's your REM coming back online. Mm. So you have to wait it out. And that's the hardest part of when people do coaching with me is just be like, I got to hold your hand. It's just kind of like the push. It's like you're in the push process and it's taking longer than you want it to take. And it gets really hard before it gets better. But death and time, you do get over the hump eventually. And then she went off of it and she's no supplements and she's sleeping through the night, which she wasn't doing before, and like going to sleep within 30 minutes. And like, she's good, but it's a process. And you're going to be part of the process is like, compressing the sleep and not sleeping as much.
Yeah.
Like knowing that you're going to be okay not sleeping as much for like a few days, a week, and then your body's just so tired that like it's sleep. Just gonna take over. Your body wants to sleep. Your body, it's a natural process. It wants to come back into balance. So as long as you're not over medicating yourself with stimulants when you're
right.
coming back online and like, I slept like crap again. But if you don't try to correct that during the day and just be like, all right, I'm just going to be cranky. I'm just going to be tired. And it's totally okay. I've been tired and cranky before. And, you know, I didn't lose my job. Then your body will eventually start to correct itself.
Okay. So that's super helpful. So just to sum up what you're saying, like, it sounds like if you are using a sleep aid, these are okay to use as long as it is for a duration of time, a purpose, maybe just something is happening, either you're going through something mentally stressfully or you're traveling. It's kind of like a sunset too, where it's like, if you're going to take one, take it early, don't take it for long periods of time. What would you say? No more than like a week, more than 3 days
a week.
If you're like me and it's now become a dependency or habit forming where I thought that I was doing good because I was drinking like tea or what have you, but still having things like chamomile, is that like, if I have to drink chamomile, that's still something, right? Like Sarah's.
No, it's fine. Like,
it's fine.
Like you're not doing anything harmful. That's just that's now become a ritual for you.
And that's
really great for sleep. Having a down routine, having a ritual. Yeah. Where it becomes problematic is if, like, you know, you're staying at your mother-in-law's house and she doesn't have chamomile tea, and now you've like worked yourself into a frenzy that you can't sleep because you don't have chamomile tea.
I see. Okay. So there's a distinction there. So that's how you know if you have a habit, is if without the thing, you're like, I can't sleep. And then if that is something that you're dealing with, which I think I probably am, if I'm full disclosure, it sounds like it's going to suck really bad for a week or so. And there's no coffee. Like I would be like, okay, fine. I didn't sleep. I'm going to drink a ton of coffee today to try and make it through. But you're saying avoid stimulants. Everything's going to.
No.
Possibly. Okay.
You'll do your regular thing. You wouldn't.
What? Adderall?
Wouldn't add on to that. So you can take your Adderall. You can
really?
Take your coffee, but not an extra Adderall. Not an extra.
I see.
Not a 2-hour nap in the middle of the day. You do regular life.
Okay. That's helpful because that's like a little bit more feasible in my mind. I'm like, I can't not do anything. Like I will suck. Okay. So it sounds like do your regular day without your sleep. And then eventually your body should recalibrate unless there's something else going on, like a sleep apnea or something else like that. But
sleep apnea, restless legs.
Like, yeah.
kinds of things.
Okay. This is super helpful. I feel like we got to such this nitty gritty towards the end, but like I personally was just getting like, I needed this. I don't know. I hope this helps other moms that I feel like might be going through something similar, whether it's like doom scrolling, procrastination, sleeping, having trouble sleeping, using different habits, forming things that might not be healthy for us for extended periods of time. Like there is light at the end of the tunnel, it seems like. So this has just been such an eye-opening conversation. I know so many moms are probably feeling seen right now. I know how important sleep is. Like, I think we, like, from the start of this conversation, we're just talking about how much sleep is tied to wellness. And once you get to that beauty of it, it's like, wait, what was I doing before? It's like someone that didn't have glasses and puts them on. It's like, I can see different leaves. They're not just one big splotch, you know, like things like that. So before we like wrap up, is there anything first off that we haven't talked about? I know we talked about a lot, but do you think you want to say to our audience that maybe we haven't discussed yet? There might not be.
I would say it might seem like a strange thing to say about sleep, but comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
Everybody's sleep needs are different. Everybody's lifestyle is different. And where you are in the phase of motherhood or in the phase of your life, like, as you know, with a little baby, that sleep changes week to week. Mm-hmm. Like, are they having a regression? Are they teething? And like, if you compare your sleep in that part of your motherhood journey to a toddler motherhood journey, you're just going to be upset when it's like everything's happening exactly how it's supposed to biologically.
Yeah.
And there are many biological factors at play. So don't beat yourself up and be like, I'm a terrible, you know, this and that. Like, you might have a chronotype to wake up early, or you might have a chronotype to go to bed late. And just finding that and finding what works for you and leaning into it. And, you know, also as we age, you know, we wake up more as we age, and sleep needs change over time. And so, you know, I've had people be like, well, I don't sleep like my husband, or I don't sleep like I did when I was 20. Well, you're not going to. So
yes, exactly. And I love that you're saying that, because I think especially with twin moms, I don't know who had said this, but like the way we sleep, or sometimes there's environmental factors that affect our sleep, but like how we sleep or the need to sleep or the amount is very biological. And I see that with my twins all the time. Twin A, don't sleep. I'm like, go back to sleep. Stop trying to wake up twin B. She's sleeping. And it's just so apparent. If I know of twin parents, you get this, where they're the same age, they're 15 minutes apart. They are so different. And especially when it comes to sleep, there's always the one. And so I think that just like very much ties in proof to the pudding that I see every day, that like, yes, comparison to the thief of joy, your sleep might look different than your husband's. Your husband might actually need more sleep, maybe. I mean, I know they say we need like 11 minutes more or whatever, but they might just be built different. And so it might not be something to get on them about. And I think also, Sarah, what you're saying with the comparison is the thief of joy. I like that we're ending with this, because I think a lot of times we're up at night, the mental load, a lot of times I can be thinking about something I didn't do right, or something that Becky down the street is doing great. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I going to think about that tonight and think about how a terrible mom I am, or what I could have done better? And I think that goes back to one of the points that just stuck with me around just the need for like slowing down, meditating, checking in with yourself. What's really important? I'm not going to cry again, but I just think that that's what's really sticking with me, because it's all tied together. So I just really thank you for everything today.
It's awesome. Sleep is like the ultimate, not just self-love, but like rebellion. I feel like so much of our culture is like, go do, accomplish, capitalism and do all the things. It's like, just be. This, like, sleep is our time to just be and just relax into ourselves and fill our own cup. And to remember that whenever we're trying to fill our own cup in other ways, be like, oh yeah, if I sleep right now, that's me loving on myself just as much as me wanting to binge watch this other thing.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And like, just how much we love on our kids. Like, if you could look at your kid and they were torturing themselves in this way, would you be like, yeah, keep on doing it, it's fine? Like, you would be like, what can I do to help you sleep, right? Like, that's the biggest thing I think moms spend the most money on, the most hours on, how do I get my kid to sleep? It's so important. It should be equally as important for ourselves.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Sarah, thank you so much for being here. And to all the tired mamas listening, you're not alone. I hope this episode helped you. Sarah, tell our listeners where they can find you, follow along, get your services, all the things.
Yeah. I'm on Instagram at SleepFitSarah. And that's my website as well, sleepfitsarah.com. That's going to go through a makeover soon, but it's up. It exists.
We'll make it on the globe for sure.
There. Yeah. And I offer, coaching on this, cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. So it usually takes about 6 weeks. It's different for each person. It might take 4, it might take 12, but I can usually, pretty much all. I'm trying to think if it didn't work for anybody, but it's pretty much worked for everybody.
I think I'm going to be like, we're going to stop this recording and we're going to be talking about how I can hire you after this. So thank you, Sarah, so much. Thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. Peace.
And that's a wrap for this episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content, and follow us on YouTube at That Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your 5-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.